Physicians like to learn by case study, and we had the opportunity to meet three patients prior to today's program. First is Bruce, who's 59 years old and lives in Lovettsville, Virginia. When the guidelines talk about the well-informed patient, Bruce might be just who they had in mind.
Air traffic control is really a job that has no margin for error. My work as an air traffic control specialist for the last 30 years or so. We have to be on our toes all the time to make sure that what we're doing is right. A lot of people do find the job stressful. I find it incredibly enjoyable. One of my hobbies is glass blowing. I think my approach to my health care has been greatly influenced by my occupation and my hobbies. What makes a good air traffic controller or a good glass blower is knowing everything you possibly can so that things don't jump up and surprise you. I first read about the PSA probably in the early 90s. The fact that members of my family had had cancer led me to sort of get my radar up for it, if you will. When I first asked for a PSA test in my mid-40s, the urologist really didn't think it was necessary. I thought it would be a good idea to have a baseline measure so that I would know if there was an increase, how much it had increased. In 2006, the physical exam showed a little bit of difference in the prostate, and there was a slight rise in the PSA. When I had my first biopsy, the results came back kind of inconclusive. After my second biopsy, I actually had the slide read three times. In November of 2006, I got the word that I had cancer in my prostate.
When we got the diagnosis of cancer from his immediate urologist, we were really upset.
Most every spare moment, you're thinking about what's next, what's the best path for me. I had a choice to make to seek active interventional treatment or what's called active surveillance. I decided that I wanted to pursue the active surveillance. I kind of like to use that term instead of watchful waiting because it does say to other people that you're doing something. Okay.
Brown. He has yearly biopsies and the PSA test.
Now, if on my PSA test there's a significant change that suggests that something is amiss or needs investigating, then that warrants an immediate biopsy. And if not, then I just go on with the program. A lot of folks that I've talked to about prostate cancer, they feel that active surveillance is pure insanity, that if there's a cancer, you cut it out.
That's good. Thanks, Dan. My initial reaction was just cut it out right away. Just get rid of it, and then you don't have to worry about it. Just knowing him and how much he had researched it, I wasn't so concerned with his decision because I knew it's the right one for him.
Cheers! I'm still happy with my decision, but there are moments that I think about it and I wonder. But those moments are few and far between, and if it ever got to the point that they caused me stress or anxiety, I'd go get treated.
One, two.
My medical condition, in addition to just getting older, has made me much more reflective.
Happy birthday, Papa.
Today's my 59th birthday. What I'd really like to wish for this coming year is good health for my family and happiness. Yay! To me, that means more than anything else.
Now, is Bruce a typical patient?
Rhea, I don't really think he is a typical patient. Number one, he was extraordinarily well-informed. Not every patient is. Number two, when you step back and look at the data, the large majority of men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer seek an active treatment rather than surveillance. And that puts him in a very unusual category.
I would agree that he's not a typical patient. I wish he were the typical patient. He's somebody who's actually informed. But I'd also point out to you that he may not have benefited from screening at all. He may be better off not knowing that he's in the situation that he's currently in. He did talk about some worry. There is a lot of mental anguish associated with this decision. Sometimes men might actually, if they knew all that they know after they've been diagnosed and treated, they would have preferred not to have gone down the road of early diagnosis and early treatment, because we still don't know that this saves lives. We have some hints that it might, but we don't know for sure.
And the key thing here is, given the uncertainty and given the pros and cons of both the decision about the PSA test and the decision about treatment, that there's no one-size-fits-all decision that's right for everyone. People need to look at this, and it's very reasonable to decide to get a PSA test or not, to pick treatment A, treatment B, or even active surveillance. Again, it's the decision that's right for you as a patient.
Let's talk a little bit more about active surveillance. What role does it truly play?
Well, Rhea, it plays a very important role. And I should say that active surveillance is, in fact, the preferred term for what we used to characterize as watchful waiting. And in active surveillance, we want to take an aggressive posture to looking for even subtle measures of disease progression. So in former times, we waited for a man to develop a symptom, and then we took x-rays, for example, if he had a painful shoulder and we might see a metastasis. Today, we actively, on a scheduled basis, will do digital rectal exams, serum PSA tests, and repeat biopsies in the prostate. We're looking for any small sign that this cancer is progressing.
I would also say that we know that about 17% of men are being diagnosed with prostate cancer over their lives in the United States, and again, about 3% are destined to die of it. So most men who are diagnosed aren't destined to die of it. The advantage of active surveillance is we can observe the characteristics of the tumor and see if we can get a hint of whether this may be one of the 3% of men destined to die of it who really needs treatment versus one of the 14% of men who don't. The other advantage that's sometimes missed is that both techniques of surgery and techniques of radiation treatment, the two main treatments for prostate cancer, have evolved over time. The outcomes are better. Radiation therapy doses are higher and better aimed than they used to be. So there may actually be better treatments available with some time. On the other hand, there's always that concern that occasionally a prostate cancer might escape from cure by waiting. That probability is small, but it leads to some of the anxiety that Otis was talking about.
So one of the reasons for active surveillance is we just don't know enough about who's at risk for aggressive cancer. Isn't there some new research about the value of the screening test itself?
Oh, absolutely. The first study that told us that prostate cancer screening we need to be very careful about was the prostate cancer prevention trial published in 2003. That's a trial that randomized 18,000 plus men to finasteride or placebo to see if finasteride decreased one's risk of getting prostate cancer. The placebo arm of that study is now the best screened group of men in the history of prostate cancer. Started with a median age of 62. They got PSAs every year along with digital rectal exams. And the trial ended at age 69, or a median age of 69, 7 years later. What that trial found was 14% of men, of those men. And so the trial was originally criticized for being men at low risk because you had to have a PSA of 3 or less to get in. 14% of those men over 7 years had an abnormal PSA or digital rectal exam and were diagnosed with prostate cancer. And then, as the protocol called for, after the end of 7 years, all men with a normal DRE and PSA for all 7 years were biopsied. An additional almost 14% were diagnosed with prostate cancer. So here we have nearly 28% of men who 7 years earlier were called at low risk for prostate cancer who've been diagnosed with the disease. One can also say prostate cancer screening with PSA and DRE is so good it can diagnose 14% of men with prostate cancer over 7 years, is so bad it can miss almost 14%.
So we wanted to hold PSA's toes to the fire, in a manner of speaking. And in 1993, I was fortunate to become involved with the PLCO, the Prostate, Lung, Colon, and Ovarian Cancer Screening Trial, which was coordinated by the National Cancer Institute. And in that trial, we randomized about 76,000 men in the United States, half to screening with PSA and digital rectal exam on an annual basis. And the other half of men got what's termed the usual standard of care, whatever was prevailing at the time in the community. And now we've been following these men for about 10 years. And what we have found is one thing that we expected, which is that there's 20 or 30% more cancers diagnosed in the men who are undergoing testing in comparison to men who are not receiving testing. Unfortunately, the one thing that I didn't really anticipate is that at least at this time point, there's no overall mortality benefit. In other words, an equivalent number of men who are receiving screening have died of prostate cancer compared to men who are just receiving the community standard of care. And I think this dovetails very nicely with some of the recommendations from the U.S. Preventive Health Task Force and some of the other societies, which say, you know what, we don't know everything there is to know about screening, but we have learned when to stop.